through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
And I'm Rob.
And I'm Garrett.
And it's Rated LGBT Radio. We're live another Thursday. Believe it or not, we magically made it happen. Unlike other things that didn't happen this week, we're actually here live and in Technicolor.
There you go. Oh, I thought you said, I thought you meant we made Thursday happen, like we have that power. That, you know, this week I've decided Wednesday not happening. It's not happening. No Wednesday. It's gone. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. That's, we have that.
What are the boys going to do for their junk food night?
Oh, okay. We'll put it back. All right. You talked me into it. But we still have the power. We can delete days should we choose to. I have just granted us that power.
Are there any other wishes you'd like to be granting right now? Because I'm totally in the mood for having wishes granted.
Okay. Well, since we're granting wishes, or since I'm making wishes, I wish we had had a different outcome on Monday.
Me too.
That kind of royally sucked. And of course, what we are talking about, which everybody has tuned in on bated breath to find out what happened, because we made such a big deal of it, about it beforehand.
Oh my gosh.
Because Monday was supposed to be the day, the day that Rob Watson and Garrett Miller finally, after a few years of friendship and putting together amazing radio and other things that we've done, we're actually going to physically meet in person. And because I used the language we're supposed to, you can figure out that it didn't happen. Bum, bum, bum.
It was a sad day, but, you know, this is kind of how it worked out.
Yeah. So what happened was, Mr. Miller was on a plane, and I think it's fair to disclose that neither you nor I have an affection for the airline milieu, if it were. We were relying on it because it was going to get Garrett to San Francisco by 4:30, and we were going to go off and have this very madcap adventure that was going to be fueled. By the way, we had so much response of different people making suggestions of things we should do and, you know, ideas, and it was all really great. And we were ready. We were ready to do that. But, you can tell what happened on the airline. You were there. I was on the other end, just seeing this weird blinking board kind of going, ha, 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 he's not coming.
Yeah. So, you know, best laid plan. So for everybody who wasn't here last week, I'm going to catch you up real quick. I had a job interview on Tuesday morning up in San Francisco, and the company was flying me up to, you know, interview me. So I had to go up the night before. And so the company booked my travel. They did everything. I get to the airport. My roommate Marcus takes me to the airport, drops me off. I'm there in plenty of time. The flight's at 3:00. I'm there at 1:30. And, you know, we just, you know, everything couldn't be smoother through the check-in. And I love Orange County's airport. It's also called John Wayne. The airport code is SNA, if you'd like to know that for a little trivia. Sure. And it's probably one of the best airports in the world, because I say it's very Republican, because it's, you know, very marble and very clean and very, very, just very Republican, because it's Orange County and we've got a lot of Republicans here. And you know, like a lot of money that lives in Orange County. And so you go into the airport and it's all fantastic and you wait for the plane and, you know, I get to board and couldn't be easier. And I'm in the last seat in the last row and I get to my plane or get to the seat and the guy's like, ugh. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, but, you know, I guess it could be worse. Because, you know, I just looked online an hour ago and this seat was open. I said, well, then I showed up to the airport and they put me on the plane. So, you know, I was like, you know, he's not going to be my airplane buddy. So just kind of left it at that, at least for the time being. So, you know, the plane's getting ready to take off. We are in line on the runway to be in the air. And I would see Rob at 4:35 on Monday afternoon. And then the captain comes on the loudspeaker and says,
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to let you know that we've got a little warning light here, and we're trying to get it to reset, but it won't reset. And before we can take off, we need to go back to the gate and have the mechanic take a look at it. It should just be a couple of minutes. You've already alerted them, and, you know, the mechanic's on his way.
So, you know, we all go, ugh, because we want to be in San Francisco at 4:35.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be about another 15 minutes before the mechanic is here. So just sit back and relax, and we'll just keep you updated as soon as we know anything.
So at about 5 p.m. was when they finally gave up. So a half an hour after I'm supposed to land, they say,
ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we haven't been able to get the little thingy that needed to be reset to reset, and we can't duplicate the triplicate of the dichotomy of the planetary realignment of the, you know, past participle, you know, hanging doppelganger. And so we're going to have everybody deplane. We're really sorry for the inconvenience. And, you know, we hope that, you know, you can figure out life.
So we all get off the plane and we're all, you know, it's not the pilot's fault, not anybody's fault. Just, you know, it's mechanical. It's just, sometimes that happens. And I thought to myself, this is not starting out well, because, you know, I'm going there for an, you know, fairly big interview, and I'm really excited about it. But, you know, if I can't get there, how is that going to look? You know, so I went back, and you stand in the line and try to get rebooked, except there are two people that are trying to rebook all these people on the flight. And in front of them are customers that are trying to get to, like, Turkey. And then you've got a family of, like, 73 that all have to be on the same plane type of a deal. And so what should take like 2 seconds to get you rebooked onto the next flight or something like that, just because of, you know, cross connections and this and that and the other thing, are taking over an hour. And I don't remember what was going on, but I think I told Rob, I said, Rob, I'm standing in the line. It's like 5:06. And at 5:45, I said, we still haven't moved at all. And finally, the guy at the, you know, at the gate says, well, you know, you can go back to the ticket counter and they can rebook you on another flight. And I'm like, why didn't they say that before? You know, and I know that he probably had 10,000 things that are being pulled at him at the same time. So I really give him the benefit of the doubt, because he was doing the best he could given the circumstances. So I go over to the ticket counter. By the way, at the Orange County Airport, the ticket counter is like 100 feet away. So you go out of security, go to the ticket counter, and the guy that was there went, bing, bang, boom, you're on the 6:15 flight, but you're on standby, so you might not get on the flight, and then we'll have to, you know, see what we're going to do. And I'm thinking, this is just not good. So I'm telling Rob, I don't think you should wait for me, because who knows how long it's going to be, and I don't know, you know. And so Rob is like, I'll wait, because he's a really good friend, and he would wait until like midnight if I asked him to. I said, but you know,
I would.
You've got kids and everything else. I said, so just go, you know, because by the time I get there, I'm going to be in a really lovely mood. And, you know, being pleasant for, you know, dinner and trying to figure out what, you know, the compressed version of the plans, the, you know, Cliff Notes versions, is just really not going to be that fantastic. So let's just make it another time. And I'm sure I'm not going to get on that 6:15 flight, you know. So I go and stand over there, and they're getting ready to pre-board, because it is like about 6:10 at that point. And said, Garrett Miller, please come to the, you know, please come to the ticket, you know, the gate or whatever. And they got me the last seat on the plane. And it was actually a lovely seat. Now, the interesting thing is that the airline, for this particular airline, had upgraded their, and they're in the process of upgrading their fleet. So the plane that I was on before, the first plane that didn't go anyplace, was the older plane. Not a rundown plane by any stretch, but it was an older plane. This new plane had, you know, like the quarter inch thick seats, you know, that give you more leg room. And so, you know, they had this fancy brand new plane, and, you know, I had lots of leg room. It was like sitting in business class or something like that, but it was, you know, it was the economy seat. And so we get into San Francisco probably what, 8 o'clock, something like that. I said, well, you know, I'm thinking, boy, I should have had Rob wait, because we still would have had time to, you know, go grab a bite or something like that. That didn't happen. So,
right.
I went and got a taxi, because I wasn't sure, you know, if you're going to a new city for the first time, you don't know the protocol. So I got a taxi. And so the guy's like, and so I just get in, because I'm like, well, I don't have a choice. I, you know, because the hotel doesn't have a shuttle, and here we go. So I go to the thing, get in the taxi, and the guy's like, where are you going? And it's like, can I have like 3 seconds to like pull this up? And I'll tell you, because it's like 2 miles away. I need to know before we get at it. And like, you know, if you'd stop yelling at me, I'd be able to get it. And then he's all upset because his credit card thing and the meter isn't working. And I said, well, how much is this going to cost to go 2 miles? About $25. And I said,
oh,
you've got to be kidding me. And he goes, well, it cost me $4 to, you know, get out of the airport. And I said, okay, that I get. So then what's the rate? Well, it's posted on the door. It's like, you know, $75 for the first 8 feet and then $85 each quarter foot after that. It was something ridiculous, but it's the city of San Francisco and the rates are posted. So we get to the hotel, which takes him not even 5 minutes to get to the hotel. And he goes, well, just pay me whatever you want. You know, like $15, $20. Then I'll pay you the 15. So I figured that's his four for the, you know, the airport thing that he doesn't have any control over. And then, you know, the 11 for the thing and really right. not a tip. And I thought even that was overpaying for what I got, but I was grateful and I was hungry. So, got into the hotel, and by the way, it was called the Bay Inn Hotel. And it was the cheapest hotel I could find because the hotel part I had to pay for myself. The travel was taken care of, but the hotel and meals I had to take care of myself. Cheapest hotel I could possibly find. And I thought, you know, this is either going to be really, really bad or really, really gross, and probably both. What a lovely experience this hotel was. It was $125 for the night. And I think depending upon the night, you could probably even get it for like $80 a night in San Francisco. Unheard of. Remodeled room. You know, really a very nice room. Shutters on the windows, like, you know, in a fancy nice house. And the only complaint that I had was the pillows were typical hotel pillows, not like Marriott pillows where you can just like, oh my God, it's so wonderful.
Right.
But set it down. And then the kid that was working the front desk, his name is Pujan, P-U-J-A-N. And I make sure to spell it because it's important that he get the recognition that he deserved. I did a nice little Yelp 5-star review thing. And so he sends me off on my way to, you know, try to go get something to eat. And so I'm walking, you know, just aimlessly down, you know, the main street looking for like a Thai restaurant or something like that to go eat. And the only thing I see is these guys standing outside of a pizza parlor. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not having any pizza because that's not on the diet.
Right.
And so I go on up and start talking to the guy, and he's like one of the drivers, or he works there in some capacity. Couldn't have been nicer. And I said, no offense, because your pizza smells quite delicious. But I said, I don't eat pizza and I am really looking for a Thai restaurant. And so he looked it up on his phone right there for me. And then he says, hey, you know, if you want to hop in the car, I'll even drive you over there and just drop you off because I'm a nice guy. And I went, that deserves me eating pizza. So I went in and ordered two slices of a Hawaiian pizza, which is Canadian bacon and pineapple. And a Diet Coke, two things that I don't ever drink diets. I don't ever drink soda, period. And I don't drink diet soda ever. And then I don't ever eat pizza. And so I had two large glasses of Diet Coke and two huge pieces of pizza, which were arguably delicious. And I went back to my hotel.
This is a good marketing tip. You know, it's like you want a customer, offer to drive them to your competitor, and you will get them as a customer. Very good.
Well, I was stunned because I'm not used to having that level of any type of service any place. And the guys there were like, oh yeah, what can we do? Yeah, da-da. And they were just really nice. Same with Pujan at the hotel. So real quick, because then we're going to talk about, you're going to tell me all the things we were going to do, because
right.
that's really going to be the more interesting
right.
part of this story. So
and
in the morning,
the absolute truth, I will not embellish at all. Maybe a little. Go ahead.
You can embellish all you want because, you know, now we won't know if it's true or not. So you can make stuff up on the
exactly.
fly and we'll think
but
it's I'm
great. Going to tell the absolute truth except when it's not. So, yeah, go ahead.
Except when it's not.
Yeah,
so the next
exactly.
morning I had to be at my meeting at 8:30, and it was very clear that if you're not there by 8:30, you are not welcome. So you need to be there by 8:30. So I got up at like 6, took my shower, got ready, and then Pujan told me to just do Uber, which I've never used before. So I downloaded out of my iPad and registered, and everything's great. I made sure to do it the night before. And so I get ready to order the Uber, and it says it's going to be like 2 minutes away. And then it says, oh, we can't recognize your cell phone number, so please re-enter a different number. Well, I never take my cell phone with me because it's it used to be my desk phone here, but I transferred it, and that's a whole different story. So I just mentally just always keep it just right here at my computer at the desk because that's my desk phone and that's just how I'm treating it. So I'm not carrying
right.
it around and using it. And so I put in my cell phone number.
Obviously never met you. Yeah. Mr. No cell phone. Right.
Yeah, it's just I'm not a cell phone person. I don't cure cancer. I'm not that important. If you need to talk to me, you know, I'll talk to you in person. And if you need to, you know, talk with me and we don't have an appointment set, we'll get one set on email and then we'll talk in person. I don't need to talk to you on the phone.
Yeah, I know. I know lots of people who think exactly that same way. No, I really don't. But yes,
you don't. No, I'm like the weirdo, and I'm fine with that. I'm really okay with that. But I can't get the Uber thing to work, and so I go to the front desk, and who's there? But Pujan is there again, and I said, so I can't get this to work. And he goes, oh, here, I'll just call Uber for you. And I went, well, thank you very much. And then he says, you know, here's the license plate and here's the make of the car that's going to come and get you. And I'm like, okay, this is great. And then it was only $8, by the way, to get to the airport, not, you know, 30 or some rapey story from a taxi driver. So I go outside and wait. And the next thing I know, he's outside standing on the street or on the sidewalk with me waiting for the Uber driver to show up to make sure that he comes and gets me. And I said, what, I need to know your story, because this is just like unheard of, because I'm so impressed with not only you. I mean, because quite frankly, you know, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. You probably didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night if you had to work the desk. I said, is this your family's hotel? And he goes, no, my dad's the manager here. And we just moved here like a year ago from Nepal. And I said, you moved here a year ago from Nepal. Your English is perfect. And you are working this. And I said, what did you do before that? So he told me, and I said, well, so what do you do? I mean, and he goes, yeah, but I work at Sears. And I said, well, of course you work at Sears. You know, you've been here a year and you're from Nepal. So of course you work at Sears. And I said, so what do you do at Sears? He goes, customer service. I said, oh, Sears is lucky to have you, because you have just blown me away. Anyway, but everybody there was like that. And I don't know why I'm shocked at that, but I was shocked that people were just consistently just wonderful and went out of their way and were nice and friendly and just fantastic. And it's not that they're not here down here in LA, but it's not like that. So I want to say hats off to everybody in the San Bruno area that was nice to me and took pity upon me and helped make my stay, not even 24 hours, a very lovely experience. So that's what ended up happening. But I would have loved to have seen Rob, would have loved to hang out with Rob. And Rob, what were we going to be doing for our night out on the town?
Yeah. Here's the meanwhile. So I got off work at about the same time you were getting to the airport, because I actually work right by Moffett Field, where President Obama, when he flies out here, that's where he lands, and NASA's right there and all that. It's very, you know, they've got these huge, huge hangars, but anyway, so I work right there, and it's about not far from San Francisco Airport to the south, but with traffic. So anyway, I got up at 3 so I could be at the airport by plenty of time to greet you in baggage claim at 4:30 and, you know, walk in there. And of course, I was accompanied by 1,000 of these flash mob dancers that I'd hired that were going to just mull around the airport. And then when you got off the plane, they were going to break into this huge, huge flash mob and welcome to San Francisco. It's your first time. And, you know, we had the mayor of San Francisco there, who's going to present you with your official gay card that, you know, because Steph,
I've been waiting for my gay card to show up.
I know Steph, my co-host of Out in Santa Cruz on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. We actually did a shout out to you last Saturday. I don't know that you heard the show. Actually, I'm pretty sure you didn't, because there was a disaster on that show, which I will tell you about in a few minutes. But the part that was not a disaster was the part where we actually shouted you out and talked about what was going to happen about you and me meeting and going to San Francisco and it being your first time and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, the mayor of San Francisco there, the flash mob, and, you know, all that. And I get a text from my good friend Garrett Miller going, they've got a widget wrong on the plane. It's going to be another half hour. So, okay, not a problem. We can adjust. We can handle this. You know, now San Francisco is not the Republican airport. San Francisco is the Democrat airport. It's very sparse, concrete. The only places to eat are coffee places. And everybody is very nice, though. The people are all very, very nice. So there's the Democratic counterpart to Orange County. Anyway, so I go to the little screen, and it it doesn't say half an hour. It says, I think it said like 5 o'clock or 5:30 or something. And then I was hanging out at the coffee place and we were kind of texting back and forth and I was scaling down our itinerary, you know, dismissing the mayor, saying thank you to the flash mob, sending them on their way, and kind of scaling back what we were actually going to do. Finally scaled back the city altogether and started searching San Bruno eating places until, you know, my sad little monitor friend said, he's not coming. And so, yeah, that was my sad tale of the San Francisco airport. But what we were going to do, what we had it all happened appropriately. The airport is actually about 25 minutes from the real San Francisco. So it's San Francisco Airport in name only. And we were going to get in my dad mobile and we're going to jet down to downtown San Francisco and park because you really don't want to be driving around the city. And first stop was going to be down on California Street by the cable cars because everybody in the world needs a picture of Garrett Miller on a San Francisco cable car. I mean, it is just a thing that has got to happen at some point. And then we were going to take the cable car up to Chinatown and do a quick walkthrough of Chinatown and probably pose for some pictures. Then we're going to make our way to Union Square that has these great statues, one of which is a great big heart. And when I say great big, it's like body size. I mean, it would have been something where we could have posed around and done our great new rated LGBT radio logo with us, both our images actually in it and that type of thing.
Really going to be like the highlight of the trip for me. Cause I had all planned out on how we're going to do our picture and everything.
Oh yeah. No, I had thoughts too. And I had my little recorder so I could record you in these different places and get your feedback. The next place was going to actually be a place of historical interest because two very significant things happened in this place that greatly affected our LGBT world. And that was the City Hall of San Francisco, which is this incredibly gorgeous building, big gold dome, very majestic looking. And the two things that happened there, one was Harvey Milk was assassinated inside that City Hall along with Mayor Moscone. And that was the site of where that happened. And it also launched the political career of Dianne Feinstein, who was the one who had to come out and tell everybody what had happened to Harvey Milk and Mayor Moscone. So that happened there. But more recently, in 2004, that was the site where then Mayor Gavin Newsom decided one morning that he, on his own, was going to allow gay marriage. And so he started marrying gay couples at City Hall. My then partner and I showed up a few days later. It was Valentine's Day. And we lined up outside City Hall and got married that day with our little boys. We also were the lead story, us, not just the gay marriage thing, but us in particular, were the lead story of the news that night in San Francisco, because while we were standing, I mean, how could we help it be? We were, you know, this gay couple with two of the cutest little boys on our shoulders standing outside waiting to get married. And so they interviewed us and we were on one of the channels up here there. So I was going to show you where all that took place and where we walked around and went in the building. And what seeing it would have been actually very cool. Because you can hear about that happen, but when you see how long the line was that went from the front of City Hall all the way around to the back where you actually went in and got in line for the registrar, that walk is pretty long. And to think that that was just filled with couples lined up to get in there. And when we came out of the building, meaning we had gone in and spent several hours going through the line in the registrar, going up in the rotunda, having a justice of peace marry us, coming down, you know, doing this filing, they had this whole process. Coming out the front door, the line, which that was like 2 hours inside the building, the line was exactly the same place, the same length.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was just one day of all of that going on. So it was, you know, a pretty momentous thing, and I was going to walk you through kind of the tour of the first gay marriages in the United States, even though they were annulled like a week later. But that's where that happened. And then we were going to pop up to the LGBT mecca of all meccas, the Castro, where Harvey Milk had his shop and where it all started, where countless vigils and Halloween celebrations and everything else had taken place. And we were going to walk on the crosswalk that is now an LGBT rainbow flag and another picture opportunity. Plus, we were going to find this great little Asian fusion place that our mutual friend Greg Archer had recommended. So we were going to do that. And then after dinner, we were going to hop back on the subway and we were going to zip down to the Marriott, which is down on, I think, Fifth Street, and go up to the top of the bar. And at that point, the city would have been falling into darkness, and we would have looked at all the amazing lights and the Golden Gate Bridge. And we would have had since neither one of us drink, a non-alcoholic nightcap, and then gone down, got in the car, and I would have whisked you off to San Bruno, where you would have been, unfortunately, cheated out of your adventure with the gentleman in the taxi cab or in the taxi cab, the pizza place, and all that. So anyway.
Yeah, well, I will tell you, it was really good pizza. Now, here's the funny thing is that, you know, I really don't eat. And for everybody who loves pizza, I love pizza too. Okay. It's not part of my regular routine, because when I eat pizza on a regular basis, I go down this rabbit hole of not just having a piece or two, but having like the entire pizza. And then I eat on top of that. And then. I'm a very addictive personality. So when I eat something that I'm not supposed to, it's always like, you know, a chance of what's going to happen to the body. And it's usually a severe, you know, type of headache or something like that once it finally, you know, gets into my digestive tract. And so I ate the pizza, ate the diet, you know, or drank the Diet Coke. And so when I woke up the next morning, my head kind of hurt, but I just figured it was because of the crappy pillows and that otherwise lovely place. I would stay there again. I'd bring my own pillow though. And so I took a couple of aspirin.
Yeah, I always
and
do that. But always travel with my own pillow. Yeah, but go ahead.
But that's a smart thing to do. And I was just like, I was more concerned about, okay, let's just make sure I show up. But I will plan better for the next time. But yeah, but I had this massive, massive headache. And luckily, after my interview, which I believe went very well, I was able to get a much earlier flight back. They had me set to come back at like 6 p.m. and I was able to get on about 11:15 flight. So it was much earlier. But by the time I got back and got home, I had the worst headache, and I just thought it was part of it was, I just hadn't eaten yet, and you know, I was dehydrated and things like that. That I normally, you know, chug water all day long or chug tea, and didn't have that. So, you know, I got people that were pinging me saying, you know, let me know how it goes. It's like, I just can't even think. I can't even, you know, I can't even get on a phone call right now just to have any type of conversation because my head hurts so bad. So I put some peppermint oil on, you know, essential oil. And I finally get on a phone call probably about like 8:30 or 9 o'clock that night and start talking. And I said, you know, I don't know why I've got this huge headache because, you know, he goes, it was the food. Ate fool, you know, every time I was talking to somebody who eats very cleanly too. Every time I, you know, go off plan and eat something like pizza or, you know, whatever, because I always end up having these massive headaches because your body just is not used to having that type of, you know, processed food or whatever in you. And there you go, polluting it with it. So, I was very glad I ended up coming home early, but man, I had the worst headache on Tuesday. You know, woe is me, trail of tears. That was my first world problem, and I'm grateful that that was the only problem that I had. But ended up coming home to, a dead car battery and raced off to Costco. And yeah, it was, well, it started out on Sunday because I was in a new TV pilot on Sunday. And so I'm in the car. I'm getting into the car at 10:30. I'm going to meet my friend at 11:45. We're going to get a quick bite to eat before showing up on set. So I get in the car and the car doesn't start. And I'm like, well, this is not good. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, didn't know what to think. So I call my friend and I said, this is, and he's also the assistant casting director for the show. So, you know, it's, you know, not showing up is not an option.
Right.
He goes, call AAA, get him out there now. And so I'm, you know, I called OnStar, which is the service that I have. And they said, yeah, we'll send somebody out. It'll be within this time period. And I'm like, holy crap, that's just not going to work. But I said, that's the only option I got. Cause you know, my roommate was at work and my ex who lives up front and, you know, we're very tight, very good friends. He was off at work. So I couldn't call him and I pinged him and I said, I'm stuck. He goes, well, borrow Marcus's car. It's like, he was at church. So I couldn't even do that. So, OnStar shows up in like 20 minutes, which just blew me away. They jump started my car. And I thought, well, maybe it's just because, you know, I left a light on or something like that. I knew I didn't, but you know, I'm like that.
Yeah.
So I go and do the shoot and I'm released from set at about 11:45 that night. And my friend, he had another friend that met and we all kind of like met in this parking lot and then carpooled to the house. Cause it was, you know, a couple miles away and they wanted to have as few cars as possible. Cause you know, you got about 100 people that were on set. So it would have been a mess.
Right.
So goes and drops me off at my car at midnight and the car doesn't start again. And so, I will publicly thank Craig for hanging out with me. And I said, don't worry about it. I'll just get a hold of OnStar, which was, you know, when your car doesn't start and you have no cell phone, you know, because again, I don't take it around with me. You can't call OnStar if your car is dead, little known fact. And so I was able to get a hold of them and they had some guy come out and start the car again at 1:30 in the morning. And so I got home about 3 a.m. From my day on being on LA Cougars. I got to say the quarterback football player. So anyway, so my car battery. So that was what I had to come back and deal with on Tuesday. And again, at first world problems, I'm glad I had enough money left in my bank account to go buy a battery at Costco. I thought batteries were going to be like $29.95. Apparently technology and batteries have changed over the years because the cheapest battery I could find at Costco, by the way, I called like six places to price shop before figuring this out. The battery for my 2012 Camaro was $140.
Hmm.
Have you bought a car battery lately, Rob?
I have, and that sounds high to me. So it may be the Camaro part more than the battery part.
I know that I called Sears, and Sears had two different batteries. One was 180, and one was 190. But by the way, that's just the battery. That's not getting installed.
Right, right.
And then there was another place that was 170 something, and then anyhow, they were all like super expensive. I'm like, just not in the budget. Why now?
We're
not taking care of them.
That's one area where you can't afford to be nostalgic. You know, it's like going back on, oh, this used to cost only this much because that'll drive you crazy.
And I start sounding like my dad.
I have a proposition for you, and this is probably a better off-air proposition, but you know, what the heck? we always tell our secrets to each other and, you know, like 10,000 other people at the same time.
Yeah.
But we do actually have this upcoming opportunity if you are up for it. On August, I think it's 5th, I am going to be speaking in LA at a convention called Blog Her. I have suddenly been anointed and much to the chagrin of my son, but as the official spokesperson for the dad of somebody who wet the bed. So he's,
oh wow,
he's labeled, he, you know, we went through a period where when he was having growing spurts that he had bedwetting. And so a company has asked me to talk about it and write about it. And because we threw that, and part of my absolute MO as a parent was not to shame him or act like it was any big deal, which is exactly what we did. And it was no big deal. And the resolution to it was fairly simple for us. And so anyway, I am now the poster dad for bedwetting. And I will be speaking at this convention, but like people who make other arrangements for us, they will be getting me up there or down there, sorry, about 4-ish on a Thursday. So if you can work it out, we could do that particular Thursday show live and in person where we're both in the same room.
Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you, this is absolutely how it works. Doing the show live, not here, meaning not on my computer where it's more of a controlled environment.
I am fine doing it there on your computer. By the way,
you'll never make it down here by that time. I guarantee you.
I'm flying into your favorite John Wayne Airport, by the way.
Are you?
I am.
Well, where's your thing? It's up in LA?
Yeah, but I made sure that they made arrangements through John Wayne for a couple reasons. One, because you can tell me all the reasons why not, but we're going to do this. So, we're going to figure it out. But yeah, so yeah, so yeah, no, I'm not flying into LAX.
You can come over to the house and we can do the show. Well, I can share. Yeah. Well, the show is really only set up with one microphone. So doing it with two, we can figure that out. Okay. So
my mic travels, as does my computer.
This is great. Okay. So we can figure this out. So that will be doable. So that will be fun. So, you're not allowed to have any.
I want to take a poll, quick on the air poll. Who is the half empty and who is the half full glass guy on this show? There we go.
I think you're the half full guy.
I am. I'm and yeah. often full of it, but yes.
That could be too. So anyway, so and I've got somebody in the chat room right here. Somebody says, you have an album mocking Jesus and you wonder why your life is falling apart. And I came in early hearing bedwetting stories. Holy crap. Well, I'll tell you, Michelle, you have no friggin' idea what you're talking about. And if you heard the song, you would know that I'm not mocking Jesus at all. So I'm sorry that you don't like the, any of that. And I don't really care. So if you don't like it, you can go jump in the lake.
And to top it all off, guess what, Michelle? You didn't get in early. This is the show.
Yeah.
This is the show.
Anyway, so yeah. I love that. That's great. But thanks for tuning in. Hopefully you'll come back and give us a hard time again. So we would welcome you to come back anytime you want. But
we love our listeners, even the abusive ones. Thanks so much.
Well, yeah, she doesn't understand. So anyway, I'll love to have you be out here for that. That'll be totally fun. We'll make that work. But I will tell you, it doesn't work in the same room, and it's just because of the acoustics and how it all works. So if we do the show, you'll have to sit in the living room while I am in the studio, and then we'll have you call in or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But that will be fun.
We'll pull it together and create the illusion. But we'll see. You know what? We may be destined to never actually physically see each other. We may not actually really exist. I mean, you may not be mocking Jesus, you may actually be Jesus. And
I could
be. It's all just, for all
Michelle,
of
us. Michelle has another comment. She says, no, I don't understand a guy porking another guy. I don't understand using pork on people either. That wouldn't make any sense to me at all.
Well, just for the record, Michelle, okay, Garrett Miller's gay. I'm gay. But we do not have a porking relationship. So,
At all. And I don't understand. Yeah.
I mean,
and
that,
she says, sorry,
that
it's not kosher. Well, I guess she would like, what would be kosher? Do you have to have your pork blessed or something like that before you would use a pork product on another person? I don't understand this.
Well, I am fairly certain that in order to have that kind of relationship in kosher, non-kosher, whatever form, you do actually have to be physically present with each other, which we have just been talking about for the past half hour, how we have never been physically in the same place before. So,
ever. Well, I think her comment might be just in general.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I mean, she is obviously.
So now Michelle is going to be a comic. Okay. Michelle may be appearing at Chuckle Huts this Saturday night. And if you get in, it's a 2-drink minimum. She says, nope, Uncle Bill told me venison is safer. Well, so she's at least open to exploring other meats.
She's a little wild. That one.
Yeah, Michelle is a wild one. We like Michelle. So she can come in and give us a hard time anytime she wants.
Yeah, that's right. So, okay. Yeah, cannot have enough of that. So, great.
Yeah,
you know,
right on.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to bet that Michelle's a Trump supporter. That'll give her something to tweet at us about now.
Well, you know, everybody, you know, that could be. Who knows? Who knows? So
could be.
Anyway, so it's 7:40. We got, and she doesn't know.
Well,
what
I want to tell you what happened on last week's out in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. So tell me about the show that went so crazy.
Well, it's, you know, we're talking about awkward radio moments of which we are duplicating one tonight on our show. But although ours is not nearly as bad as this. So the guest that I had, or we had, Steph and I had on out in Santa Cruz on KSCO AM 1040 or KSCO.com if you're listening in this Saturday, was a wonderful woman named Chivas Moore. And Chivas wrote a book about having lived in the Middle East for 17 years. She is a lesbian. She's a feminist, completely countercultural, fascinating woman. It was actually a second shot because she was supposed to have been on the show before and she forgot. And so I was sitting there doing the radio equivalent of shadow puppets, which is not fun, stretching my voice for an hour. And anyway, I digress. So we were having this wonderful conversation, getting her insights about, you know, what it was like to live in the Muslim world, how, you know, the people who are doing this terrorism are the extremists, and, you know, to call them even a minority is an overstatement. I mean, they're extremists. They're this radical faction of the most minimal way. So we were having this conversation, and as we do on that radio show, we go to our commercial break. Well, unbeknownst to my co-host and I, our radio station there is the conservative radio station in town. So we are the beacon of the liberal voice there. Well, our station owner did an editorial, and during the break, it was one of the commercials, if you will.
Uh-oh.
This was a 5-minute monologue on just to pull out the highlights. Obama is a Muslim. Christianity has been driven out of our schools. Muslims have been driven in and accommodated in all public schools and all public settings. And our country is going down, you know, hell in a handbasket because it is falling under whatever Sharia law or whatever. You know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, point by point of fallacy, misinformation, and Islamophobia, if you ever heard it. So Steph and I are sitting there listening to the break with this look on our faces, like, of course, not, first of all, we would have been like frustrated about hearing that thing anyway, but to have a guest who was talking about the exact opposite of that and her experience to play that ad for her while she's sitting there on hold. And of course we come back from the break and Steph brings us in and she can barely talk. She's like, welcome back to, and I jump in and it's like,
oh,
I'm Jennifer. And, you know, and our guest comes back on and she goes, while you were gone, did you guys hear that? Like, oh yeah. So what do you have to say about that? And we then went, and it was, that part was good because it gave her a forum to counteract that whole piece. But that has never happened on the radio.
Wow.
In any way, shape, or form. So yeah, there you go. So awkward radio moments.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm glad she handled it with tact, you know, and I think you and I have talked about this off air is that, you know, I've had a guest no show twice. I mean, two different guests.
Right.
no-show twice, and that's in 4 years of doing a show 5 days a week. So I say my odds are really, really good that, you know, people show up on time, because I book the show months in advance for the guests, and they're all really good. They show up, and, they, you know, we have great shows, and it's a fun time. But the two people that have not showed back, I just refuse to rebook, because if, you know, and because I reconfirm with people, you know, the week of, the day of, the whole thing, and for you to not make it is just not an excuse.
Right. Right.
You know,
well,
so we just,
I have to say she, you know, she was a fascinating author. She had important things to say, very unique voice. So, and I wasn't going to not do that. The big irony was on that show, the show this Saturday, I was going to make sure I had all my bases covered. I had Steph there because she was gone the week that I had the no show, so I didn't even have a co-host. You were on the phone call to Australia learning how to speak Aussie.
Yeah.
So, you know, I couldn't pull you on, and you wouldn't have spoken English if I had.
Today, mate.
But yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
No, I need Garrett. So
yeah.
not whatever Dundee, you know. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I also had this other guest that was lined up to come on, this woman who's doing comedy and music locally here. We were gonna have her on as our first guest that night. And guess what? She didn't show. So
what?
Yeah, it was, oh my gosh. It was a little bit crazy. The show, I came up.
I think
well.
It's summer.
It is. It is summer. And the effects of, yes, you're right.
You know, because so, it's just, this has been a weird summer for a lot of things. I'm going to hopefully give your guests, you know, passes for that since it's summer and things are going on. I don't know. I still just struggle. You know, it's like if you have a media opportunity, you always make that happen. And if you don't, you know, you rearrange that long before that interview time is up. You just don't not
oh,
show
yeah.
up.
Well, you know, the thing was, I wasn't a slacker in terms of the preparation. I mean, we had that interview booked for a month and a half.
Right.
You know, she has a publicist. I was working with the publicist. I was in touch with the publicist. I had her phone number. I had, you know, it was like,
yeah,
it was
totally done.
Yeah. In terms of radio terms, I felt like I had a net. I mean, it was like there was virtually no way that I thought that was going to fall through, but it did. But mm-hmm. as the radio gods of karma kind of came in, they kind of got her in the end. I mean, when she did show up, then she was faced with a very disrespectful message. And I do regret that. I'm not really trying to, make light of that, but it was just ironic. So I wonder what Michelle thinks about that. Too bad Michelle.
I don't know. Michelle's talking about her last comment here is, dude, jokes aside, I just saw 3 job postings for private Muslim teacher this morning online in my city. It was very hush hush. It's correction, quote, teacher, comma, private Muslim school, comma, location, private. And I wrote
ooh.
Back, viva opportunity. Ooh. And so anyhow, so Michelle, we want to hear from you. You're going to be our new number one fan for the night for chiming into the chat room. By the way, if anybody wants to call in, I've got a ton of people who are on the line listening on their telephones. If you want to ask a question, all you got to do is press the 1 on your keypad. But, you know, again, if you don't want to, don't press number 1, because
right.
if you press
right.
number 1, we'll bring you on the line. And,
well, definitely press it if you have the information like Michelle does, because I love that there's this huge Muslim conspiracy to take over the school system of the United States. And it's so secret that the only person that knows is Michelle.
Could be.
I love
could
that.
Be. Well, okay. We've got, it may be Michelle who's pressed the 1 on our keypad. Do we dare open the phone lines, Rob?
Oh, let's go for it.
Let's do it. Okay. Caller 865. You are on the air here on Rated LGBT Radio with Rob Watson and myself. How are you today?
I all have snack bar.
We like the
snack
bar.
Bar.
We'd love a snack bar.
No, this is Michelle. I forgot to change the name from last time I was on. But,
okay. So how are you?
But for real, I'm good. I was just cruising the, I guess, shows and random
yeah.
girls.
Well,
dude,
I appreciate
real.
You tuning in. We like giving you a hard
it
time as much as we like getting, you know,
of
you
course,
giving us a hard
course.
Time, too.
But,
so what's going on in your world
aside,
today?
it's just really freaking weird, man. And I know you guys are out in California, right? Did I just?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Michelle, I have to say I'm a little.
It's not Michelle. He didn't change the name on the blog talk thing. It's not Michelle. What is your name?
Oh, it's not Michelle. Oh, okay.
Thomas.
Thomas. So we got Thomas on the line. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, all Thomas.
Right. So you. Go for it, Thomas. What's your question?
Okay,
yes,
you guys are LGBT, right?
Yeah.
Well,
no, I'm not gay or lesbian or anything, but.
Well, technically, we're not lesbians either. So, yeah, we're right.
Right, but I'm not homosexual. Like, that's not my community.
That's okay. Nobody can be perfect.
Okay.
You know, that's fine.
I hear you, but just let me say something. I think it's very important, and not many people get this. I'm a conservative, so not many people get to hear it from a conservative. Dude, no normal conservatives have a problem with the LGBT, and we're very surprised that the LGBT community is embracing the Muslim community with open arms after the Muslim community has sworn to destroy. And they've
put out articles.
Thomas, in writing, man. Don't take my word for it. Just look it up.
Thomas, over a billion Muslims in the world. Do you think if they wanted us dead, we would even be talking right now? We'd already be dead.
It's a long process. They have books.
Let's back up. We've got to dissect a little bit of your statement there, because you made sort of three points that each one of them sort of incorrect. One. Let's start with your first opening that, you know, the conservatives love LGBT. Because one of the things I was going to talk about tonight is the Republican.
I didn't say love. I said protect.
Oh, protect. Okay. All right. So
yeah. If you're in America and you're not trying to kill us, you're protected.
So, well,
it doesn't matter.
Okay. Hold on. I got to have a statement here, because they actually proposed putting that. They stripped. In the Republican platform that they're currently developing, they basically put in all these things to strip LGBT people of virtually every right you can even think of, including the right to
name
be.
Name one.
Well, including the right to be gay, because one of the platform things that they
put
true. In there.
That's false.
No, wait, Thomas. We're going to cut you off if you keep interrupting. I let you talk. Now you got to let me talk. So,
but I'm not going to let you spell lies. No,
I'm not
saying
lies.
Gay,
go Google. You haven't even let me say what it is. You can Google this, but they have put in the plank that they want LGBT people to go through conversion therapy to not be gay. So that is part of the Republican thing. The thing that was proposed to go into the Republican plank that they refused, that they turned down, was a statement that ISIS is throwing gay people off of buildings, and that's not okay. They refuse to put that in the Republican plank. So
there's
a huge bar that we have to leap before we can really trust you on the conservatives or protecting us thing.
Well, I'm not a Republican, just FYI.
Okay.
I'm just a conservative.
Cool. Very cool. Then I take it all back. You know, it's those guys and not the real conservatives. But okay.
No, I'm just asking, like, who's they?
Wait. We've got to go. I'm going through your points. So number two is.
No, hold on, dude. You can't just steamroll me. That's
not
true. Who's they?
I let you.
Who said that you can't be gay in America? That's dumb, man.
Okay. All right. Now, number two, LGBT people are embracing the Muslim community. No, they, the LGBT community, are not. There is a diverse population of people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and guess what? All of those people have different opinions. You will be able to find anti-Muslim LGBT people. They are out there. There is no official mandate that gay people embrace Muslims. The thing that where you are probably confusing it is we just had a huge massacre in Orlando, Florida, of LGBT people of color in a bar for Latin night. And the person who did that did it under the guise of, you know, this is for ISIS or whatever. We're not happy with that. We, speaking for most gay people,
Dude, screw gay people. It's America. Those are Americans. No American's happy about that. It doesn't have
well, the thing, man.
It doesn't matter if you're gay or not.
We
straight Americans are pissed at that.
We also know that those kind of attacks through whoever it is who has a religious fundamental basis are because we are gay. They did not pick that randomly. That guy did not pick it randomly. ISIS is not throwing gay people off buildings randomly. It is because religious philosophy attacking and is homophobic.
That's why I'm like blown away that you guys are aligning with Islamists.
I'm not sure where, you know, we don't have a rainbow coalition flying over to the Middle East. So
guys just said Islamophobia.
Well, that is, the fact that there is Islamophobia doesn't mean that LGBT people
declared war on every single person in the West, straight or gay.
Well, no. Okay. Well, now if you're going to just throw out complete.
The imams, bro. It's in freaking writing, man.
No, have you read the Bible? It is in
the whole entire Bible, word for word. Yes,
you know what happened?
Different translations.
Do you know what happened after Orlando on the Christian radical side? We had several ministers who were saying, number one, the people who got wounded, they should be dead. The people who got killed, good, they should be dead.
You're talking about a couple sects. And every freaking Christian came out against them.
No, society is not coming out against them. I'm so sorry. Not every single Christian came out against them. In fact,
yes, my friend,
almost
I'm very, very modern, bro.
No, almost no Christian religion, no denomination.
You don't read very much because it's all over Christian news.
Trust me, I was reading for that. No,
Dude, they came out and got press conferences. Man, just look it up, dude. I'm not some like Bible thumper. I'm just saying.
Thomas, that's not true. In order for us to have a conversation, you have to stop talking. You have to listen. I listen to you. I'm answering you. So, no, that is absolutely incorrect. No denomination came out and condemned the Christians who cheerleaded the deaths in Orlando. Now, what some of the religions did do was they came out and they condemned the deaths in Orlando, which is great. That's completely appropriate. But they did not take responsibility for the fringe elements of Christianity, like you are asking all of the Muslims to take responsibility for the fringe elephants of the Muslim religion.
No, dude, that's not true. Can I say something, please?
Now you may say something.
Okay. There has not been one Muslim group you've got Shia, you got Sunni, and then you've got the Wahhabis, which are kind of a spinoff of the Sunnis. The Shia, they're not the ones declaring war on the West, okay? They're much like Iraq and Syria and Egypt and the whole Arab Spring were all Shia nations because they were cool with America, not just America, just the West. They're like, oh, this whole democracy thing works. We're getting all wealthy. We're actually getting roads built. We're not, you know, trying to scrape up grub worms out of a freaking root. Those are the Shia Muslims.
Thomas, just to let you know, we only got about 30 seconds left, so the history lesson had better go on high speed if you're going to get your point out.
Okay. Those sects, S-E-C-T-S, those sects of Christians that praised the murders, that was like a group of psychos out in California, and yes.
Well, actually, Arizona 100%. And Texas and California. So, yeah, no,
yeah,
it wasn't just
the whole freaking Christian community came out against them, if you read any publication.
Find any article of a Christian religion.
Just look up the Christian Post, in which I don't really like it, but it's big.
By the way, these were all Baptists. Every one of these guys.
Exactly. Well, because you don't have any, there's no requirement to be Baptist. Anybody can be ordained Baptist. The Naked Cowboys are freaking Baptist.
Okay, flip what you're saying.
I mean, I'm serious.
Muslims. I'm not actually, because they haven't come out against it.
We came out against the murders. The Muslims don't.
They do. Of course they do. There are so many Muslim people who absolutely condemn those murders. That is.
And with that, everybody, that is our episode tonight. Make sure to listen to Rob's show on Saturday night out in SantaCruz.com. And the Friday Day Dance Party is live tomorrow morning, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning with Sherry Payne, lead singer of The Supremes, world premiere.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.